down. If you are sitting down, please kindly stand up. Before you sit down, I want you to do something. You are going to do me a favor this morning. I will try as much as I can to ensure that everybody is being carried along in this teaching. And I would love you to connect because there is something the Lord wants to minister to us. So do me a favor by placing your right hand on your chest. Place your right hand on your chest. Okay. If you have placed your right hand on your chest, and I want you to ask yourself a very simple question, and I will beg you in the name of God, be sincere to yourself. Be sincere to yourself on this question you want to ask yourself. And that question is, ask yourself, why are you in a church? Why are you coming to church? What is the purpose of coming to church? I'm giving you a few seconds to answer that question. Ask yourself, sincerely ask yourself, why are you in the church? What brought you to church? What is your purpose of coming to the church? What is the reason behind you being in the presence of God? Some of you are looking so beautiful, you are looking so handsome. Early in the morning, you are getting yourself prepared. Some of you started preparing for 4 a.m. Some started by 5 a.m. Some started by 6 a.m. And so on and so forth. Why some are still on the way coming? They are not here yet. But what is the reason why you are in a church? Why do you come to church? So, I believe you have asked, you have given yourself the answer. You have asked yourself that question. And I know you have known why you are in church, even before I ask you that question. I would love to ask a brother and a sister. I know as our faces are different, so our reasons for being in a church is also diverse. Our reason of being in a church can never be the same. Please pay attention because this will give us a serious hint on what we want to talk about this morning. Please, let's hear from a brother. One brother, one sister. Before you sit down, please. Okay. Why are you in church?
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
I am in church because it is my conjugal obligation to serve God, to worship Him in a Sunday like this, and also to gather with other believers to serve Him, to honor Him, because it is a commandment from God, and we do so.
Praise God. Can you clap your hand for Jesus? You can remove your hand from your chest. Thank you. Let's ask a sister.
Praise the Lord. I am here to serve my God, to worship Him so that I will not make mistake at the end, so that the heaven will be my portion at the end in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. I say praise God. Okay, you can sit down. Celebrate yourself. Now, from the questions I asked, you can hear from our brother, you can hear from our sister. Our brother says that he is here to worship God, to serve God. And I don't think there's anything different from what our sister said. Both of them are saying the same thing. Praise God. But do you know that there are different reasons why people are in a church? Church, do you know that people are in a church with different reasons? Do you know people are in a church with different reasons? Good. Good. Praise God. Praise God. IT, please, let me have Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 22. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Please pay attention. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Underline that word, walking on the sea. It is not my topic, but I would love you to underline it. Now, When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, what happened? They were highly perplexed. They were seriously afraid because they have not seen such miracle before. In school, we are taught that when you throw, there are objects that doesn't float on water. Am I correct? Church, am I correct? There are objects that doesn't float on water, like when you pick up a balloon. Balloon, if you put air in it, what happens? It floats. Am I correct? But what is the difference between balloon and stone? When you throw stone in the what? In the water, does it float or it sink? I can't hear you. Good, good. It sink. Making you to understand that as heavy as Jesus is, what was the expectation of the disciples? They were expecting him to what? To sink. But Jesus did not sink. He was walking on water. Do you know what that means? It means that he has broken so many scientific laws. He has broken so many laws by doing that. And that was why the disciples were seriously afraid. And they cried out for fear. And immediately they cried out for fear. Jesus spoke and he said, "Be of a good cheer, for I am your master, for I am Jesus." And immediately Jesus made that statement. What happened? You know, at that time, their breath was on the high side. Am I correct? Oh, you're not getting me. As of that time, they have moved from the realm, from the level, from the human level to another level because they have concluded that a ghost has come to kill them. Although they are there physically, but they have entered into another realm. So Jesus had to call them back and told them, "Be not afraid." And instantly, see what Peter said, verse 26, before we introduce the topic, verse 26. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straight away, Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of a good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water.'" I love Peter. And what did Jesus say? Let's read that one together. Let's read it. What did he say? And Jesus said to who? To Peter. What did he say to Peter? What did he say to Peter? What did he say to Peter? "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to meet Jesus. The emphasis on that scripture is that Jesus told Peter, "Come. And you have come to church. And here you are in the church. And before you came to church, through our daddy in the law, Jesus is saying, 'Come.'" And at that moment, Jesus is saying, "Come." He doesn't expect you to do any other thing, but rather to do what? To focus. And I'm here to announce to you this morning that many are in a church, but attention has been shifted. Many are in the church. They have totally forgotten the purpose, the reason why they are in the church. And that was what happened to Peter. Immediately, Peter saw the wind. The Bible said, Jesus said, "Come." And what happened? Let's look at the next verse. Bear with me. I will soon introduce the topic. This thing is very important to me because it's a serious problem in the body of Christ. Give me verse 28. What does it say? "But when he saw the wind," Busturios, children of God, wind and Jesus, which one is better to focus on? Respond to me now. Wind and Jesus, which one is better to focus on? Wind and Jesus, which one is better to pay attention to? Do you think that I came to the church to become a teacher? Am I in Bride Assembly to become a teacher? I never came to Bride Assembly to become a teacher. That was a privilege. So what was my purpose of coming? So if I have truly come to become a teacher and I'm not given the opportunity to become a teacher, I will become angry. I will become angry. Because my objective, my motive of being in the church is not being what given to me, But that is not the main reason of being in a church. Jesus said to Peter, come. Do you think you are in a church to become a gossip? No. Do you think you are in a church so that you can occupy one position or the other? No. These are the secondary aspects of it. There is a reason why you are in a church. And it's unfortunate that we have deviated from being why we are in church to another realm. And that is why the body of Christ is suffering. But Jesus wants to call your attention that you are not here to look for husband. If husband comes, glory to God. Jesus said to Peter, come. And instead of Peter to focus on Jesus, the Bible says immediately Peter saw the wind. He left Jesus and focused on the wind. Don't shift the attention. Don't move from where you are. Focus on where you are going to. Because by focusing on where you are going to, you will see Jesus. Because the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, is the only one we are to look up to. Not the pastor, not the teacher. Nobody is to look up unto. Focus your attention on him. Because if you remove your eyes from him, there will be a problem. So why are you in a church? Jesus says something. He said, the Son of Man has come. What is the purpose of Christ coming? The Bible said, the Son of God has come that he may destroy. Give me 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Holy Ghost, help me. 1 John 3, verse 8. He said, he that commits sin is of what? Of the devil. For the devil sinned from what? From the beginning. The devil sinned from the beginning. What is the purpose of Christ coming? Read that last script, that be for me. He said, well, for this purpose, read with me, want to go. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, did Christ come to this earth so that I can become a teacher? Oh, you are not answering me. Did Christ come to this earth so that I can become a prophet? He coming to the earth primarily? Was it for me to be a car owner? Respond to me. Did Christ come to this earth primarily so that I can be driving jets? Did Christ come primarily to this earth so that I can become a landowner? He came purposely for one purpose, that he may destroy the works of sin. That is why he came. Only one purpose that brought him. Do you think that he suffered that humiliation on the cross? He suffered that pains on the cross. He suffered that thing he suffered on the cross so that you can be driving jet here and there? I'm not disputing that all these things are good. But let me tell you, there are other things that are better than that. Brother, give this my brother Mike. I'm fully aware that I've not introduced the topic, but I'm moving by the direction of the Holy Ghost. Just pay attention to me. Brother, I know you very well. Sir. Do you know I know you? Eh? Give him a. Do you know I know you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Now, I remember you are a good dancer. I hope you know.
Yes, sir.
I hope you know.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you are coming to this church, you know, it was from this church you married. Am I correct?
You're right, sir.
Do you primarily came to this church to marry that woman?
No.
What if that woman did not come? How will you have felt?
Why? It is God.
It is God. Praise God. I say praise God. So making you to understand, there is nothing wrong that you came to bride assembly and you are opportune to marry in bride assembly. Sure. That is the secondary aspect of coming to church.
Yes, sir.
The primary purpose of coming to church so that your heart will be circumcised.
That's right.
Hey, there is a circumcision of the heart. And that circumcision of the heart can only be done by Jesus.
Sure.
And before Jesus came to this earth, the first Adam brought sin to us. The first Adam brought us on the ground. He made you and I to become a sinner. The Son of Man came purposely so that he can walk on your heart.
That's right.
So you are in a church primarily, not because you want to marry, not because you want to be a prophet, not because of anything, so that you will receive a transformation of heart.
You're right, sir.
So why has children of God, why have we so much, you know, some people have taken gossip in a church to become an occupation. It has become an occupation to some people. Let me tell you, you are not in a church to gossip. We are not in a church for all these things we do. The primary purpose why you are in a church is that you will empty yourself and allow the Holy Ghost to have his way. So this morning, I want to be talking to us on the topic I titled True Circumcision. True Circumcision. True Circumcision. When you say true circumcision, there is no disputancy about it. There is nothing to dispute it. Brother, what are you putting on? What are you putting on? You are putting on what? You are putting on white.
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask another brother. Brother Benga, what is our daddy putting on, please?
White.
How do you know he's white?
Through his color.
Because they color.
Yes, sir.
So which means that you are truly telling me that what our daddy is putting on is what?
White.
Is white.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So which means that when we say true circumcision, there's no disputancy, but there's nothing you can use to argue it. It is true and it remains true.
Amen.
Let's look at the meaning of circumcision. For the purpose of our teaching, we are going to look at the meaning of circumcision in two ways. One, for the purpose of this teaching, we'll be having dual meaning of the word circumcision. Follow me. Now, circumcision, it is a surgical remover of the foreskin, the skin covering the tip of the main organ. It was practiced in ancient culture, and not only in ancient culture, it is still being practiced up to today. So when you say circumcision, you know, you are looking at it as a surgical operation. Am I correct? It is removal of the foreskin. Let me ask Mama a question, please. Sorry, I told you that this class will be interactive. Please, Mama, do you have a male child? You have a male child?
Yes, I do.
Glory to God. Now, that your male child, was that child circumcised?
Yes.
At what days or what year or thereabout?
The 8th day of his birth.
I can't hear you.
The eighth day.
So you can see, all of us here, thank you, Mama. Now you can see, she said that her son was circumcised at what day? At the 8th day. And all the men listening to me now, all of us who went through it, two of us. Now, that your foreskin of your reproductive organ was what? Was what? Was removed. Was removed. And being removed, it is very, very important. We are coming back to that. Let's look at another definition of circumcision. Now, circumcision is also the word, okay? Circumcision of the heart means the removal of sin and commitment to God. Removal of sin and commitment to God. So it can also be defined as heart surgical spiritual operation. Repeat after me. Say circumcision. Class, repeat, says the circumcision can also be defined as heart surgical spiritual operation. So when we say is heart surgical operation, remember it is spiritual. So which means that your pastor cannot do that one. You are not listening to me. Your pastor cannot do that one. Your teacher cannot do that one. Because it is spiritual. Anything spiritual that has to do with this operation can only be controlled by who? By God, not man. Praise God. I'm coming back to that. Let's go to what true circumcision is not. Now, what true circumcision is not. We have seen that we have two types of circumcision, which has to do with removing the first skin. Another one has to do with your heart. Now, what true circumcision is not? Number one, true circumcision has nothing to do with outward or merely physical. So when I said I am truly circumcised, which has to do with the circumcision of the heart, it has nothing to do with your outward. You can be remain outward uncircumcised, but when it comes to circumcision of the heart, it has nothing to do with the outward appearance. Let's look at Romans chapter 2, verse 28. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew. This is what Apostle Paul is saying. Which is one outwardly. Neither is he that is circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. So he is telling that he is a Jew. He became a Jew, not because he carried out the outward circumcision. Verse 29. Look at what verse 29 is. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So Apostle Paul went through that circumcision of the heart. And because of that circumcision of the heart, he was able to make us understand that you become my brother, I become your brother, not because we are coming from the same parent, but you became my brother, I became your brother, because of true circumcision. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I expected you to clap for Jesus. So how do we become family members? You and I, we became family members because why? We have gone through that true circumcision. Look at what Galatians say. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians 3, verse 28. What did he say? He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither born nor what? Nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are one in who? In Christ Jesus. We became one in Christ Jesus through that circumcision. And you know that circumcision is also synonymous to receiving the baptism of the what? Receiving the baptism of the what? Of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can only come and dwell and live in you when he has carried out that circumcision of the heart. Once the circumcision of the heart is being done, automatically the Holy Ghost comes and dwells in you. And when he dwells in you, he dwells in me, then this scripture we read is fulfilled. Praise God. Now let's look at the next one, the next point. The next point. Now remember that true circumcision is not a ritual for show. It is not a ritual for show. You don't show it by exhibiting what you have. I don't show it by exhibiting what I have. There are many people who are driving jet today. There are many people who are having thousands of followers. But listen and listen to me. No matter whoever or whatever you are, that does not give us a guarantee that you have gone through true circumcision. And that true circumcision, it is a ritual, not for show, but for the glory of God. Let's look at the next point, point three. Now, true circumcision. Okay, God is not impressed by ceremonies or action without depth of what? Of change. Go on to the last point on that. Now, true circumcision, it is not a cultural body. It is not about belonging to a certain group or heritage. True circumcision has nothing to do with I'm coming from my parents are popes, or the name of my father is a pope. Your name of your father may be a pope, but yet you are not truly circumcised. You may be a prophet, but yet you are not truly circumcised. I may stand here to teach as a teacher, but yet I'm not truly circumcised. So circumcision does not have anything to do with the class of people you are mingling with. It has nothing to do whether you're operating spiritual gifts or that. It has nothing to do with that. Because the Bible says that the gifts and the calling of God are without what? Are without what? Meaning that you can exercise all the spiritual gifts, but yet you are not circumcised. Praise God. I say praise God. So you have to ask yourself. That is why I told you. Your primary purpose of being in the church is to be circumcised. It's to free yourself and allow the Holy Ghost to have his place. Allow the Holy Ghost to work on you. Allow the Holy Ghost to work on me. And that is when the purpose of he coming to the earth is being actualized. And it pains me in the heart where some pastors, some preachers, they will gather thousands of people. They will gather many people. And when they gather these thousands of people, the only thing they tell them, it is where. As if that was the purpose why Christ went to the cross. Christ did not go to the cross so that our pastors, or whoever you call them, will stand in the pulpit and start telling people that it is well with you. No wonder Amos chapter 8, verse 11. What did he say? Amos 8, 11. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the what? In the land, not a famine of bread. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of famine of all, but of the hearing the works of the Lord. There is a famine in the land. There is a famine in the land. People are no more yielding themselves to be circumcised. Because the people that stands in the pulpit, no wonder the Bible said that the pulpit is filled with what? With all kinds of vomit. They have left the purpose. They have left the reason why Christ came to the cross. And they are dwelling on another aspect of Christianity. Which God is going to hold them accountable. Which God, on that last day, he will judge them. He will tell them, this is not what I sent for you, what I sent you to do. And some of these preachers, they started very well. When you look at their history, how they started, they were fire for Christ. They were preaching and souls were being won to the kingdom. All of a sudden, because of the cares of life, they shifted their attention and people are dying in silence. People are dying seriously. Because why? Men and women are becoming highly wicked because the true word of God is not being preached. The true word of God is not being given to them. And that is why I want to thank God for this ministry. Bride Assembly is one of the best ministries I have ever seen in the whole world. I'm telling nothing but the fat truth. I'm telling nothing but the fat truth because in this ministry, and all our pastor is trying to tell us, come back to your maker. Come back to God. That is all. If you have listened to him vividly, you will know that 91% of his teaching is calling your attention to your maker. And that is how it's supposed to be. Because when Adam and Eve fell in that Garden of Eden, what happened? The Bible says that God did what? God took away the what? That internal life from them. In fact, where the internal life is was what? Was blocked. You know why? The reason why it was blocked, because if they have had access to that internal life, who is Jesus, they will live in sin internally. They will become a sinner internally. But Christ seen you and I from his foreknowledge. What happened? He blocked the internal life. Who is Jesus? So that you and I can have access to that. And Jesus has come. And why do we know he has come? The Bible said that he has come and he has given us a ministry. And that ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. Meaning that there was something that happened between me and my father. The devil, the old serpent, created enmity between me and my father. And Jesus said, no, I love that brother. I love that sister. I am ready to sacrifice anything for that brother to be saved, for that sister to be saved. And what did he do? He took it upon himself. He took that humiliation. He took that pain. And he went to the cross. He went to the cross and he paid the price for you. And he said, I have given you only one ministry, which is the ministry of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Come back to your maker. Make peace with your God. And you can only make peace with your God if your heart is right before him. Praise God. The next point, let's look at the introduction. Introduction of this sermon. Okay, before introduction, through circumcision, transcend ethnicity and tradition. It is about spiritual identity in Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. What did he say? Philippians 3, verse 3. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God. In what? In the spirit. We are circumcised to worship him. Not in the flesh. Not in your own idea. Not in your own thinking. But to worship him in spirit. And I have no confidence in the what? In the flesh. Hallelujah. Introduction. Now, circumcision in the biblical context is more than a physical act. It represents a spiritual truth about God's covenant, holiness, and separation from the world. While it was initially given to Abraham as a physical sign of the covenant. So Abraham, our father, I'm coming back to that. Abraham, our father, was the one who received this seal of covenant, which has to do with circumcision. And God told him that all the male child born through your lineage should be circumcised. And circumcision was as serious as whatever you think of. It was a serious thing. That is why I told you, you are primarily in the church so that God will work in your heart. How do I know it was a serious case? Even in Exodus chapter 12, verse 41, Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. What did he say? There is something Moses said. Exodus, now, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self-same day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the law went out from where? From the land of Egypt. Look at verse 1. And it's the night to be much observed unto the law for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the law to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses, what did the Lord say? And the Lord said unto Moses, this is the ordinance of the Passover, they shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. The only access for you to have access to that internal life, which is Jesus, it can only be possible through circumcision. Praise God. Let's look at the next one. The next one. Circumcision. Now, let's look at notes. Circumcision is a sign of the covenant God had with Abraham. That is truth. No disputancy about that. I'm coming back to this. Go on, go on. Circumcision was a visible mark of belonging to God's chosen people. See, Old Testament is the what? Is the shadow of things to come. I hope you know. So if circumcision was a serious requirement to belong to the to the choosing of God, definitely in this age, for you to be a partaker of God, you must be truly be circumcised. It's as serious as that. It was a requirement for every male Abraham household as a sign of faith. Go on. Go on. Now, those who refused to be circumcised as of that time were cut off from where? From being God's people. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 14. Now, let's look at the differences between true circumcision and the circumcision God gave Abraham. Now, let's go. Praise God. Now, it was a physical sign done on the eighth day after birth. Why true circumcision can be what? Can be done anytime spiritually in the heart. You bring up a child and you circumcise that child after 8 days. When it comes to spiritual circumcision, it can happen at any time. And glory to God that on 18th of this month, we are embarking on Holy Ghost baptism program. That is the best program ever in the whole world. It is far better than family deliverance program. It is far better than any other program you think of that any man on earth has ever organized, because it is a program where divinity is come to world, to earth, and makes the earthly to become divinity. Hallelujah. It is a time where God takes over you. You are no more operating by yourself. You are now operating in the realm that only Him can control. Only has the remote to control it. No wonder Apostle Paul said, he said, oh wretched man as I am. He said, I love to do good, but I found myself doing evil. He said, who will save me from this evil that I'm doing? He said, glory to God. He said, glory to God who have sent His only begotten Son. The purpose why that Son came, that I may not be a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness. So on this forthcoming program, I'm trying to prepare your heart. Make it to understand. In this program, open your heart and let God have His place and let God have His way in us. There are many things, there are many work the Holy Ghost need to do in our life. Now, let's go on. It represents the separation. It is an outward appearance, and the true circumcision is an inward appearance. Go on. It symbolizes a male reproductive organ surgery, while true circumcision symbolizes a heart transform. Go on. Go on. In Christ, believers undergo spiritual circumcision. That is putting off a sinful nature. Circumcision was as an important sign under the old covenant, but in Christ, it has a deeper meaning, the circumcision of the heart. Now, before we go further, give me that picture. Give me that thing. Let me explain something. Now, look at what we have on this. Look at what we have on this. I want to use this thing to explain this topic very well for you so that you can understand something within these 10 minutes. Now, what do you see in that picture? What do you see there? Talk to me now. What's the first thing that comes there? I can't hear you. After Abraham, come what? Go to your Holy, is it Holy or Isaac? I can't hear you. Okay. Now, after Abraham is what? Isaac. After Isaac, what do you have? What do you have down? The circumcision of the heart. But after that, what do you have? You have the nox. Am I correct? Now, this is the four major projects. This is the four major projects that can truly allow the Holy Spirit, allow the true circumcision to take his place. Now, who is Abraham? Abraham was a man of faith whom God told that I am going to have a seed of covenant. You know, God had a covenant with Abraham. Am I correct? Now, what was the covenant? I'm going to make you great. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That was the covenant God had with Abraham. Now, after that covenant, what was the next thing that happened? God went further to tell Abraham, for you to know that I'm serious with this covenant. For you to know that I'm serious with you, there's going to be a seed. There's going to be a token of my covenant. And what was that? No, what was the token of circumcision? What was the token of the covenant? Circumcision. And as of that time, God was telling Abraham that he need to give him what? That token of circumcision. Do you know how old was Abraham? How old was Abraham when Abraham was circumcised? Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. So what could have prompted Abraham to be circumcised at the age of 99? That shows how serious it was. And this Abraham depicts all the men of God you see. Not all the men of God you see in the world can truly receive the teaching of the cross. Some of them, they have abandoned the teaching of the cross. But Abraham was ready. If I'm to ask you, a child who is 8 years old and a child who is, and someone who is 99 years old, who will feel the pain of circumcision more? Who will feel the pain more? But Abraham was ready to bear the cross. Abraham was ready to bear the cross because he knew the importance of it. Children of God, listen to me. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter. There are many pastors all over the world. They are not pastors that are called by God. How can you say you are called by God? Simple obedience. Simple having faith in God. You are finding it difficult. It's an evidence that God has never called you. If truly God has called you, he will reveal himself to you and tell you, this is what I call you to do. Listen to me. No pastor should tell me that he is called to conduct deliverance. No pastor should tell me that he is called to do family program and all that. The primary purpose why they are called is that God is saying, my children are lost. Bring them back to me. And Abraham practiced it. He did not stop the circumcision. When he gave birth to Isaac, and that Isaac is you. That Isaac is you. That Isaac is your heart. Abraham told Isaac, it is time to be circumcised. In Genesis chapter 22, it is time for you to be circumcised. And Isaac did not argue it. Children of God, don't argue when God wants to work in you. It is unfortunate that we are highly dominated with things that do not glorify God. We are highly dominated in doing this. See, you can do everything you are doing in the house of God. That is not the evidence that you are circumcised. The question you have to ask yourself this morning is, have you been truly circumcised? Isaac was circumcised. When you read, give me that Ezekiel 36. From verse 25. Ezekiel 36 from verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and he shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will do what? Will I cleanse you? And what did he say? And I will put a new heart also. That new heart is true circumcision. That new heart is surgical operation, and it can only be performed by the Holy Ghost. And if your heart is not truly ready, if you are not ready, if I'm not ready, don't be circumcised. The Holy Ghost will leave you. But when you are ready to be offered, to be circumcised, then he will carry out this. He said, I will put a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will take away the stony hearts out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Go on, go on. The last verse there. The last verse. Praise God. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. Then after you are now ready, then it will now take us to the diagram. What is the diagram? Is the nuts. In any circumcision that is to be carried out, there is a nuts. Mama, do you do the circumcision by yourself? No, please give me mic. Do you do the circumcision by yourself? Who did that circumcision? It was a nurse or a doctor. Our nurse and our doctor is the Holy Ghost. The only thing, the pastor, please, I omitted something. After that Holy Ghost, then God is going to use his word. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than what? Than two-edged sword. And that word of God will come from our pastor. That word of God will come from our daddy. And when that word of God comes from our daddy, what happened? Then the Holy Ghost, it is now left in the hands of the Holy Ghost to do what he can do better. It is the responsibility of the Holy Ghost to transform you. It is not being done by your pastor. Your pastor does not have power to convert you. I don't have power to convert you. Nobody on earth has the power to convert you. The only thing that the Holy Ghost is waiting for, create the atmosphere for me. Allow me to do what I can do better. Allow me to do it. It is not the work of any man. It is not the work of any woman. It is the work of the Holy Ghost. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. But before the Holy Spirit will truly work on you and refine you and make you to work to perfection, you must open your heart. And once you open your heart, then the nurse comes, the doctor comes, and which is the Holy Ghost. And when that Holy Ghost comes, what happened? He'll begin to carry out the operation. He'll begin to remove gossip. He'll begin to remove fornication. He'll begin to remove this. He'll begin to remove that. All those things that are not of God, the Holy Spirit will begin to remove it. And the process of removing it is what I call true circumcision. So you have to ask yourself this morning, are you truly circumcised? You have to ask yourself this morning, brother, sister, why are you in a church? Why are you in a church? Why are you in a church? Some of us are playing. Some of us are joking. Some of us are not serious. There are some people that have taken one occupation. As I said earlier, some have taken occupation of gossip. Their own is that I am called to gossip in the church. See, that is not the primary why you are in a church. You are in a church to be a new man. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 5 verse 17. What did he say? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Look at what he said. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, not if any man be in the church, if any man be in Christ, is what? He's a new creature. All things are passed away. He said, behold, all things are become new. For all things to become new in our lives, we must know the primary purpose why we are in a church. And when we know the primary purpose why we are in a church, everything definitely will become new. Look at Titus chapter 1 verse 16. Titus 1:16. What did he say? He said, they profess that they know God. We profess that we are churchgoers. We profess that we are going to church. We profess that we are brothers, we are sisters. But in our works, they're denying him. Being abominable and disobedient and unto every word, good word, reprobates. Who are reprobate children? There are children who are not truly circumcised. They hide under a man of God. They hide under a preacher. They hide under this, they hide under that. And they think that they are deceiving a man of God. They think they are deceiving a woman of God. Unknown to them, not woman of God, unknown to them that the primary purpose why they are in a church is to be circumcised. Jesus said to Peter, come. Jesus said to Peter, come. Don't shift their attentions. Don't remove your eye. Look at brother, tell me to come. As I'm right now, brother, tell me to come. Brother, tell me to come. Just stand there. Now, look at this brother. He's telling me to come. What do you expect me to do? Is to walk to him. But instead of walking to him, I will say, no, I want, let me branch in so place and do what I want to do. But Jesus is saying, come. Leave that thing you are doing. Leave those things that you are doing. The primary purpose is for Christ to walk on you. Leave it. This idea of what? Of we trying to believe that we are here for one this another. I am fully aware that some of you are here because you want to marry. Some of you are here because you want a good and fine. Bride assembly is a full package. We are not suffering from malnutrition. We are not suffering from kwashoko. We have balanced diet here. We have complete me. Anything you want in bride assembly, we have it. We have it. And that is why when I hold mic like this, I am being careful with what I say. Because if you are not careful what you say, as you come out from the pulpit, somebody, a brother will call you outside. Brother, that's the way you talk. I don't understand. And if I want to wicked that brother, I will tell that brother, even me when talk, I don't understand. Praise God. I say praise God. So no matter whatever that brought you here, there is the what you should be looking at. Jesus said, looking unto me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Of your faith. Of your faith. We can go on and go on and say it over and over again, but time will not permit us. Abandon your head, let's pray. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Abandon your head, let's pray. Abandon your head, begin to talk to God. Begin to talk to God. Begin to talk to God. Tell him to work on you. Tell Jesus to work on you. Tell him to circumcise you. You need the circumcision. I need it. You need it. I need it.
Jesus' name we pray. Uh-huh. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. If you were blessed, put your hands together for the Lord. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Welcome your brother, welcome your sister. Just tell somebody something that will make the person to be blessed. I mean, to be happy. Yes. Yes. Only one person, one greet. Only one neighbor you get. Eh? Only one neighbor you get. Now. Thank you. Hallelujah. You are blessed. Stand up and look at your neighbor. See, God bless you, Brother Uzo. All your shouting, screaming here will not be in vain in the name of Jesus. Brother Uzo, I say it again. You didn't say amen, no. I say it will not be in vain. Your shouting, your screaming will not be in vain in Jesus' name. You know, John 17, verse 17. She left John 17, verse 17, says something. It's a prayer Jesus said, prayed for his disciples. And when he came to verse 17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Circumcision is the process of sanctification, removal of excess flesh, carnality. So you look at your neighbor who sing one stanza. It's a question that you will ask your neighbor. That I think it's our hymn number 127.